you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you open them up to the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to be in verse 38 through verse 42. And as Brother Dan mentioned, our topic for today is when your name is called twice, and specifically the name Martha, Martha. And I believe our subject matter for this evening is one of the more profound accounts inside the Bible. It's a very simple account. It's a very short account, but it is an extremely profound account that has a powerful message that that I believe will apply to all of us. It says in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, this. Now it happened as they, this being Jesus and his disciples, as they went, that he entered in a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Let's pause right there. Our world today is a different world than it was even when I was growing up. You'll have my dad here in a few weeks, and he's much older than I am. So I'm not quite that old yet. I am getting older by the week, it seems like. It's funny how it works like that. But even since I was younger, I guess, our world has changed an awful lot. When I was a child, you could go outside and didn't have to fear too much about what was out there. You could run around and play outside with your friends, and you could go down the street, and your parents didn't have to always know where you were because it was okay. When I was a child, you didn't have as many distractions as you have today. You could spend time outside playing for hours on end and never even worry about coming inside and watching TV or playing on any electronic devices. We did have video games when I was a kid, and we certainly spent our fair share of time doing that, but that wasn't the most prevalent part of your day. That was more so of what you did once it got so dark that your parents made you come inside, but I grew up playing outside. I grew up knowing that there were other things in life that were more important than sitting around all day long. But things have changed, haven't they? And I believe everybody in here is probably guilty of learning that things have changed and probably guilty of allowing this world to change us as well. I know that I am. We have a device. Most of us have it in our pockets today, our cell phones, and on them we have things like Netflix and HBO and Hulu and YouTube and different things like that, social medias that we put on there, and we allow them to distract us all the day long, right? If we have even a moment that we have just in peace and quiet, we can quickly turn it on and watch something. We can open up a web browser and we can browse through the internet. We can pull up social media and know what the whole world's doing in just a moment's notice. We have all these distractions and many more than just a cell phone, but all these things grab our attention and they immediately take us away from doing anything, from having conversations with people, from speaking with people at the dinner table, from being at restaurants and sitting across the table from our wife and having an actual conversation, even from getting to know people in worship services. We can quickly pull our cell phones out and enter into another world, can't we? Our world is now built to distract us. Because God forbid that we have a single moment to our thoughts, a single second to pray, a single time in our life where we're not being entertained by something, right? But you know, this isn't the first time in our world's history that distractions have been there. Distractions have always been here. They're just a little bit different than they used to be. Jesus and his disciples, they enter into a home of a woman named Martha. And when they enter into Martha's home, in these days, they would gather around the table together and sit and recline together, and they would speak to one another. The teacher would usually be at the head of the table, and he would speak, and people would gather together around, and oftentimes even their homes were open so that other people who knew they were there, they would be able to come inside and dine together and speak and listen to who was teaching or speaking at that time. And Jesus, as the one who is the authority here, he's speaking and he's teaching. It says that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his word. So he was speaking to them. He was teaching them, right? And so we have two different approaches to deal with this situation. We have two women that are here, that are here. We have one named Mary. And when Jesus is speaking, she set aside everything and she began listening. And we had another, the one who welcomed Jesus into her home, named Martha. And Martha, she realizes this is an amazing and an enormous occasion. The Lord has entered into her home. And so she feels obligated, and rightfully so, to serve him and to serve the disciples that are there speaking with him. And so she begins distracting herself by all the things that are needed to serve them, and she's missing the message. And in the following verses, in verse 40 through verse 42, there's a couple statements that I believe teach us quite a large amount for our life as well. In verse 40, here's what it said. It said, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. In these three verses, I believe there's three very important statements for us that give us a little bit of insight into our own life as well into what Jesus is trying to teach here. In verse 40, there was an important statement. The statement was this. It says that Martha she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister? Let's stop right there. Because you can already exclude the whole rest of the statement as you know, it doesn't matter at this point. Because Martha approaches the Lord there with this mindset already intact that she's doing a good thing. And she is, isn't she? By all accounts, she is doing a good thing. She's serving the Lord. She's being a good welcomer into her home. If you have guests in your home, it's polite to serve them and to help them, to be kind towards them, right? She's doing a good thing. She's taking care of those that are in her home that none of us would look at that and say, she's doing something evil, she's doing something bad, she's being neglectful, she's not being kind, she's not being generous. None of us would look at her and say that, would we? So she's not doing a bad thing, but when she approaches the Lord, her words tell us that she's missing something. And she has a wrong mindset here because she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister... Now that we have all these distractions in our world, you know what those distractions are filled with? When you open up your phone, you turn on Facebook or whatever else people use nowadays, and we read about the lives of everyone at all times, what our family members are having for supper, who went for a walk today. Here's what my child did on this wonderful occasion. Here's what the celebrity of the day has done. Here's the great gossip of Hollywood. Here's what all our political leaders are doing. Here's what our president has done. Here's what's happening in the world in this nation or that nation. And everything in a moment's notice is broadcasted to us, and it distracts us and it pulls us away, and we focus on everybody else instead of focusing on who? On me. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister... Because she's worried about her sister. She's upset about her sister because her sister's being lazy in her mind, right? I'm working diligently. I'm being good to you. My sister also welcomed you. And look, she's sitting here doing nothing while I'm diligently working. But why is Martha worried about Mary when Martha should be worried about Martha? Was Mary worried about Martha? No, she was worried about what the Lord was teaching to her. But Martha was worried about Mary. You remember in John chapter 21, whenever Jesus, he's just given Peter a terrifying statement whenever he told him that Peter was going to die, and the way he was going to die was going to be a pretty horrible thing. He said his hands were going to be girded and that he was going to be taken away to a place he did not want to go. And that's a pretty horrifying thing to hear from the Lord, that this is the way he's going to die. And Peter sees John. John's leaning on the Lord as they walk together. And Peter, the disciples have had these bouts of jealousy, if you will, asking the Lord, who's going to sit at your right hand? And they've had these moments where they've looked and tried to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, right? They've had that throughout the time they've been with the Lord. And Peter, again, he hears about how terrible his death's going to be, and he sees John then, and he asks the Lord about John. Instead of focusing on what the Lord told him, he says, well, what about John? It says in John 21 and verse 21 to 23, Peter, seeing him, or seeing John, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? See, again, he's heard about what's going to happen to him, and instead of asking the Lord for advice about what he should do, how he needs to deal with this, how could he serve the Lord better, what does he say? What about John, Lord? What about John? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying, notice this, right after the Lord said that, Jesus just told Peter, what does it matter about John? What does that matter to you? If I decide he's going to remain until I come back, what does that have to do with you? He says, you follow me. Stop worrying about John. Worry about you. And right after Jesus said that, he just told Peter to worry about himself. The other disciples are there. They hear this as well, right? They all hear the Lord say, worry about yourself. Don't worry about the other. And what happens? It says, this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Did they do what Jesus just told them to do? Did they worry about themselves? No, they all of a sudden heard, well, John's going to live forever. John's never going to die. And they want to talk about John. Yet Jesus, it says, did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? This week, even, have you been distracted by what's gone on in Hollywood or in the political world? What is that to you? Is that your spiritual life? Have you been worried about what's going on throughout the world? Now, I'm not saying it's bad to turn on the news. I watch the news occasionally. I keep track of certain things. But what is it to you? The lives of even the other Christians that are here today. We worry about them. We worry about their sin. We focus on their issues and their problems. What is that to you? Is that your life? Is that your spiritual life? Is that your focus? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10 to 11, these are two of my favorite passages. We use this in Hialeah as often as I can use it because I love these two passages. Unfortunately, it doesn't fit into a whole lot of sermons, but it does fit into some. And so since it fits into this one, we're going to use it because I love this passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10 to verse 11, Paul says, we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. I love those verses. Because Paul lays it out as clear as he can, almost as if he's trying to be rude about it so we understand how serious this is. He says, I urge you, increase more and more, live a quiet life, and mind your business. If your elders came up to you today, I don't know your relationship with your elders. I assume it's pretty good because you have very kind elders. They've been very nice to me. I've known some of them for many years. But if they were to come up to you and just tell you, mind your business, how would you feel about that? Maybe some would say, okay, clearly I'm doing something wrong. But some would say, I can't believe that they would talk to me that way. I can't believe they would say that to me. I can't believe they don't take what I said seriously, my concern seriously about this brother or that brother, this elder or this deacon or this preacher or whoever the case might be. And they said, mind your business to me. We'd be upset about that, some of us, wouldn't we? But Paul just told us what? Mind your business. Is Paul trying to say there in a rude way, stop worrying about anybody else ever? Stop helping your brother? No, he's trying to tell us, worry about yourself. Worry about your spiritual life. We need to take care of our brethren. We need to help our brethren. We need to love our brethren. But we also need to be more focused on ourselves and less focused on other people and their issues, their sins, because unless they ask us for help, it doesn't concern us. Martha looked at the Lord and said, do you not care that my sister? When really she should have been asking about herself. Because Jesus tells her right after that, that the problem's not, not with Mary. The issue here is not with Mary, it's with Martha. In verse 41 of Luke chapter 10, it says, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Any of you growing up have parents that would ever say your first and middle name? I can't tell you how many times I was called Creston Michael when I was growing up, whenever I'd get in trouble. Not that I ever did actually get in trouble. But every once in a while, by the way, my family and I'll tell this because you're going to meet my dad again in the next couple of weeks. I believe he'll be here in like 2 or 3 weeks from now, maybe 3 weeks, I believe. So when he's here, you can call him this and make sure he gets in trouble. But every time we go up near where he was raised up in Thayer, Missouri, his family's up there and the people that knew him as a child grew up there. And everybody that I meet that knows him, they call him Tara Wayne. Because his middle name is Wayne, his first name's Terry, and so apparently they heard that. I don't know where the story came from, but that they heard him called Tara Wayne so much growing up that that's how they know him. And what happens when your mom calls you by your first and middle name? Usually means there's something that needs to be fixed here. Somebody's messed up. Well, Jesus doesn't call her by her middle name, but he does make sure to get her attention. He does make sure that she understands this is for her. He does say, Martha, Martha, as if to tell her, I understand how you're feeling. I understand what you've said, but listen to me. There's something you're missing. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. She's worried and troubled about many things, he says. Again, another statement there. You are worried and troubled. Another powerful statement that's important for us. That Martha is worried and troubled instead of this should be the moment where she should feel better and more calm and more collected and more focused than any other moment of her life. The Lord is sitting there in her home teaching. This should be the greatest moment of her life. He is dining in her home. God is there teaching in her house. And what is she doing? She's worried and troubled. You know, if you were to get sick, where is the place you would rather be today than anywhere else in the world? Would it not be inside the hospital? If you get sick, you'd probably like to be in the hospital, wouldn't you? Because that would be the place where whatever's going on, you have the best chance of being taken care of. If you're to be hit by another car, you'd hope that you'd be about as close to the hospital as possible so it wouldn't take a whole long time for you to get the care that you need, right? When you're sick, you need to be close to a doctor. When you have trouble, you need to be around somebody. If you call the police, you hope that the police are nearby, that you can get the help that you need as quickly as you can, right? Right now, Martha is in a dire need, just like everybody else in the entire world is. The Lord is there, he's teaching, and people need to hear it, people need to listen, people need to learn, and he's there in her home as close as possible. And she's worried and distracted instead of focused and calm. And why is she worried and distracted? Because the Lord is here. There's so much that needs to be done. There's so much that needs to be served. I can't have the Lord be uncomfortable in my home, can I? I have to be a gracious welcomer inside of my house. I have to show the Lord how kind I am. And so I'll worry about this and I'll worry about that and I'll get distracted by all these things and I'll get troubled by what my sister is doing. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Sadly enough, if the Lord was to speak to me today, you know what He'd say? He'd say, "Creston, Creston, you are worried and troubled about many things. There are things in your life today, and why are you thinking about them? Why are you worried about them? Why are you troubled by them?" And He'd probably say that to you as well, wouldn't He? You remember in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 44, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." And what's He trying to teach there? He's trying to tell us that when you find the kingdom of heaven, when you find God, that everything else becomes worthless. You remember the book of Ecclesiastes? The theme of the book of Ecclesiastes is vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Or that everything in this world is like grasping for the wind. It's reaching out for something that is worthless and pointless in life. And He goes through a list of things. He talks about money, it's worthless. Possessions, it's worthless. A beautiful home, it's worthless. People that can entertain you, it's worthless. All the things that we fill our life with, all the things that we distract ourselves with, He says they're worthless. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, He says. And there's one thing in the book that He says is worth something. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. What is it that's worth? He says, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." This is everything. And everything else, He says, is pointless. Think back in your life 10 years ago, the things that you were worried about, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the things that you allowed yourself to be so concerned about that you allowed to take over your mind, take over your thoughts, that you let control you every day and let be the focus of your mind every day. And if you think back to them, you look back and say, it really wasn't that big of a deal, was it? Because you're here today, which means you made it, and it's okay, and everything worked out all right. But we still allowed it to get control of us, didn't we? We still allowed us to worry about it constantly. You remember Samuel, after fighting with the Philistines, they raise up a stone as a monument, and they call it Ebenezer, because God has taken us this far, he said. Meaning, God has led me to this point. He's taken care of me all the way through. What do I have to be worried about now if He took care of my worries in the past then? Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled. This man finds a hidden treasure, and what does he do? He sells everything that he has. Everything else is worthless compared to this treasure. In verse 45 and 46 of Matthew 13, Jesus also says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." Again, what is everything? It's worthless when you compare it to the kingdom of God. But we focus on all these things and worry and trouble over them instead of worrying about what actually matters. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And you shouldn't be. Because what does he say in the following verse of Luke 10 and verse 42? He tells us about Mary then. You're worried about Mary? Well, let's talk about Mary now. What about Mary? "But one thing is needed," he said. You're worried and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needed. "And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Mary has done something more valuable. Notice he's not, again, saying that what Martha's done is bad. He's telling her that she's missing what is perfect. She allows everything else to distract her so much that she misses what actually matters. Because she's so worried about serving She misses the Lord. Boy, we do get distracted, don't we? And we allow our attention to be pulled from one thing to the other, and we miss out on the glory of God that is right before us. God helps us in so many ways. He takes care of us in so many ways. He watches over us. He comforts us. He strengthens us. He gives us brethren to help us and assist us to bear our burdens together with. How many ways is God taking care of us today? There are too many to count, aren't they? And so often we miss them because we're not looking at the right place. He says one thing is needed. And he says what? Mary has chosen that good part. Mary has focused on something far more valuable, something that should not be missed. I want to read from Matthew chapter 17 very quick. Flip over to Matthew chapter 17. Again, I'm going to say, this is the good thing about preaching in other places, is you get to take all your favorite things and talk about them all at the same time. Because you can't really do that at the congregation you usually preach at every week because people get bored and stop listening to you. Not that they don't do that anyways. But either way, it's fun whenever you get to go somewhere else and preach because then you can talk about all those things again, all in one, right? Matthew chapter 17, one of the most amazing things that's ever happened in this world took place. We call it the Transfiguration. It's whenever Jesus revealed himself, the nature of God, before the disciples, Peter, James, and John. Starting in verse 1, here's what we read. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them on a high mountain by themselves. Notice, what did he do? He took the disciples here, Peter, James, and John. He takes them away from everything, by themselves. That's important because nobody else is here. Nobody else sees. None of the cares of the world are here. None of the problems of the world. Nobody else to distract us. Just these three and the Lord. And he transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here if you wish. It is good, right? Good for Peter, James, and John to be here. Because they get to see this amazing thing. Jesus is transfigured before them. He reveals the nature of God before them. And not only that, now they get to see Peter, or rather Moses and Elijah. They're here. They're living, aren't they? Yes. Although they have long gone and left this world, now they're here. They see them. They're still living. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living, isn't he? And Moses and Elijah begin speaking with the Lord. And Peter, James, and John, they respond back. Peter answered and said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. So we have this situation. Peter, he says, you know, let us make three tabernacles. And certainly Peter believes he's doing something good, right? Yes. Just like Martha believes he's doing something good, serving the Lord, right? But Peter, he says, let us make you three tabernacles. Let's make one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And certainly they're enraptured with this event, aren't they? This is an awe-inspiring, life-changing event that's happening right before their eyes. So it's an amazing thing they see. And Peter believes he's doing a good thing. But what happens is cloud overshadows them and it says this voice comes out. It's the Father speaking to them. And what does God the Father say to them? This is my beloved Son. Is this God making sure they know who he is? Oh, okay. Now we know it's the Son. We didn't know that before. No, just one chapter earlier, Matthew 16. What did Peter say to the Lord? You're Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. They knew exactly who he was. So why does the Father say, this is my beloved Son? Well, he's saying, why are you worried about Moses and Elijah? Why are you worried about making a tabernacle for Moses and Elijah? The Son of God is there before you. This is my beloved Son. Hear him, he says. Stop worrying about Moses and Elijah and worry about the Son of God who's right before you. Focus on what matters. Verse 6, it says, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. And you can't blame them, can you? I'd probably have done the same. But Jesus came and touched him and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." Notice this. This is the key verse here, verse 8. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Jesus only. Today we're going to close here in just a couple minutes. I believe I have 5 minutes left. In just 5 minutes, we're going to dismiss and we're going to go outside those doors in the back of the auditorium. And we're going to walk outside to our cars. We're going to change our direction. We're all here. We're looking forward to the Word of God right now, aren't we? That's what we're here for. I hope that's what we're all here for. That's what I'm here for. I love gathering together with my brethren, but the reason I'm here is because of the Word of God.
Yes.
And I hope you're here for that same reason.
Amen.
But when we step outside, guess where we're going to go? We're going to enter back into our world filled with distractions. And when our eyes lift up, what are we going to see? What are we going to see? Are we going to see Hollywood? Are we going to see our political world, our governing officials? Well, we can't stand what this guy's doing. We love what this guy's doing. We can't stand that other guy, though. We like this guy. We have to worry about all these things. Hey, did you hear what this person did? I can't believe they did that. Did you hear what that person said at services tonight? I can't believe they'd act. Did you see what that person was wearing this evening? I can't believe they'd act like that. Or do we lift up our eyes when we walk outside this room and see Jesus and only Jesus? It's very easy to get distracted, isn't it? I'm not saying up here that I'm not guilty of the same. I very much am. I believe we all are at times, are guilty of letting this world pull our eyes away from what matters. Our lesson for today is, when your name is called twice, Martha, Martha, a call to prioritize. A call to place our priority where our priorities need to be. Of course, God commands us, we are to work, to take care of our families. We are to help our brethren. We are to be good influences out in the world. We are to go out and preach the gospel and try to help and encourage people. We are commanded to use the resources, the monetary blessings that God gives us to do His will. We are to be there as an aid and a help to those that are in need. We are to be the salt of the earth, the light that is shining, the city that's set on a hill. That's what we're called to be as Christians, but we're not called to go out into this world and to be like them. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, what did Paul tell us? He said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We are to be different. And how are we to be that way? By learning to live different. By not allowing ourselves to be so focused on everything that everybody else is focused on, and instead, to focus on what matters. We serve the God who created all things. We serve a Savior who came down to this earth and loved us so much that He suffered a terrible, painful, suffering death on the cross, and He rose up from that grave in awe-inspiring glory by His power and by the power of the Father. And He rose up out of that grave to allow us to wash away our sins, to walk in newness of life, and to begin to live different, not the same. Not the same. We are called to prioritize and see Jesus and only Jesus. I hope today that your priorities are in order. I'm going to work on mine, and I hope you will on yours too.
Yes.
Let's close with a prayer.